Our scripture today is from Exodus chapter 3. We'll be reading beginning at verse 1 through verse 15. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames from fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. And Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out into a land, good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Israelites are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What then shall I tell them? And the God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are, the great I am, the Lord God, Jehovah. Lord, we exalt your name this morning. Your name is greater than any other. And Lord, you have revealed yourself to us. And you have invited us to know you in a personal way. And so, Father, as we open your word again today, we just ask that through your Spirit, you would speak to our hearts and help us to get to know you better as you have revealed yourself to us through your word and in a personal way. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had an experience or an encounter that dramatically changed your life? That your life was headed in one direction, but then you had an encounter experience. Something happened that totally altered your life and put it on a different course. That happened to several people in the scripture, and that happened to a lot of people down through time. It happened to Moses in the scripture we're looking at this morning. It happened to the Apostle Paul, that his life was dramatically changed. And every one of us, when we have an encounter with God, our Creator, our Lord, our life becomes dramatically changed and altered. Moses' life was about to change when he met the Lord in chapter 3 of Exodus. He had spent the last 40 years tending his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro's sheep, and the priest of Midian. And had spent 40 years as a shepherd tending the sheep. And I imagine his life had become pretty mundane and pretty ordinary. He knew how to take care of the sheep, who knew where to lead them to the good places of pasture. But on this one particular day, when he met the Lord, his life was changed forever. In the scripture of chapter 3 of Exodus, as we continue our theme this morning of looking at the names of God and getting to know God through his names, today we come to perhaps the most holiest, most sacred, and most precious of all of God's names, and that is the name Yahweh. In chapter 3, Moses was tending his father's sheep, his father-in-law's sheep, and has been gone on for 40 years, and decides to lead them up to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And he saw this strange sight there of this bush that was burning, but it looked like it was on fire, but it was not being consumed. And he thought this was a strange sight. He would check it out. And he met the Lord there, and the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord revealed himself. And this is where Moses' life was changed when he met the Lord. And God reassured him that he had indeed seen the misery and suffering of his people in Egypt. And God was sending Moses and calling him to go back and to lead them to freedom. Moses said, well, you got the wrong man. How can I do this? I don't have the gifts. And then he says, if I go back and tell them that God sent me, they're going to want to know what's his name. And so the Lord revealed his most precious of all names, where he said, tell them that I am who I am. The name today that we're considering is that name, Yahweh, the name that means I am. Yahweh is a translation of the word to be. And it's a reference to God's personal, holy, and sacred name. So precious was the name Yahweh as God revealed it to him and said to Moses, this is the name that I am to be remembered by from generation to generation. This is my personal name to you. So precious did that name Yahweh become that down through the years, as the Israelites would copy, the scribes would copy scripture from one to the other, when they came to that name Yahweh, in the English translation, it translated L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And when you're reading through the scriptures, and anytime you come across capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, that's the English translation of it. That is the name Yahweh. But so precious was that name that every time they would come to that name, translating, they would get a new pen, they would write that name, they would break the pen, and then it would pick up to the one they were using before. In fact, it became so precious that they would not even speak the name Yahweh or Lord. Instead, they would use the name Adonai, which is capital L, small o, R, D. And they would use that in its case. A very precious name. In Psalm chapter 1, 110, verse 1, we see where the scripture says, the Lord, capital L, O, R, D, said to my Lord, capital L, small o, R, D, sit at my footstool until, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies under your footstool. It shows the difference of the two names. But Yahweh, God's most precious and holy name. Today, as we consider looking at that, the name Yahweh meaning, as he said, it means I am who I am. Yahweh is that name I am, meaning always being in existence, meaning always was. And Yahweh is, and today we want to focus in on Yahweh, who he is, as he has revealed himself through that most precious of names. He said, this is my precious, my personal name, how you want, I want to be remembered. So today, as we get to know God through his names, let's look at who Yahweh is and discover him better. First, Yahweh is the self-existent God, the one who exists in himself. When he said to Moses, I am who I am. That word I am is in the present tense, meaning God is in continual existence in himself. He exists directly and independently from us. He is and always was. He is distinct from his creation. He is the creator, but he was not created. He made everything, and he exists apart from it. Everything has its source in him. God has no beginning, has no ending. He is and always was. He is the self-existent one. So what does that mean for your life and mine today as we think of who he is as the great I am who always existed and exists independently from you and me? What that means is he doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. We need him. And, you know, that simple fact can be a little offensive to our pride because we think we like to feel important. We like to feel significant. We like to feel that we're needed. We like to feel how important we are. You know what? God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to make him feel significant or important. He doesn't need us. We need him. And the I Am reminds us of that he is self-existent. Before anything was, he always was, and he always existent. He doesn't need our help as well to accomplish his will. Abraham and Sarah was a good example of that. We had looked at that scripture under the name of Elroy, but when God told Abraham about the child that him and Sarah were going to have, and all those years passed and it didn't happen, they thought, well, maybe God needs my help. Maybe we need to help him along to bring this process out. And we all know what happened in that account with Abraham and Sarah, with Hagar, and what had come out about that, and what we're still suffering in the world as a result of it. God didn't need Abraham and Sarah's help, and he doesn't need ours. But the good thing is, the good news is, even though he doesn't need our help to accomplish his will, he chooses to work through us. And he allows us to partner with him in accomplishing his will on earth today. And through God chooses to use me and you and me to bring about his will on earth. He could do it himself. And ultimately, his will be done because he is a sovereign God. And what he has decreed will happen with or without us. But he chooses to work through us. But being that he is self-existent, he doesn't need us. He doesn't need our help. He wants it, but we need him, but he doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything because he is totally self-sufficient, and he stands alone as God, holy and unique. When he says, I am that I am, or I am who I am the self-existent one, always existing. I don't need anything. I exist in and of myself, holy and unique above everything else, set apart. Above all things, Yahweh is the self-existent God. But secondly, Yahweh is a personal God as well. In verses 2-4, we see that he initiated a personal relationship. Even though he doesn't need us, he wants to have a relationship with us. As Moses was leading the flock of Jethro out into the field, out into the desert, and he came to the base of the mountain of God. Verse 2 says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. The angel of the Lord there is a reference to Jesus, the pre-incarnate version of Jesus before he was incarnate, when he would make appearances temporarily on earth. Anytime you read angel of the Lord, that's a reference to Christ himself. And he appeared to Moses in flames of fire within a bush. He initiated a relationship. And Moses, in seeing that, saw this bush on fire, but not being consumed. He thought, well, I'm going to go over and see what this is about. And notice what verse 4 says. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush then and said, Moses, Moses, and engaged him. But the Lord initiated the relationship with Moses. And the Lord initiates the relationship with us. It shows that he's a personal God. He initiated that through sending Jesus whenever we had fallen in the garden and that relationship was broken and God had to restore it. He had come up with a plan in the garden with the fall, initiating a plan that began that would bring us back to him in a relationship with us. God is a personal God, wants us to have a personal relationship. And then also notice, as the conversation then continued, and God revealed himself, first thing he said was, take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, showing that personal relationship that we have, that our God, Yahweh, is a personal God, desires us to know him better. That's why he's revealed himself to us. He's also given us a personal name. He said to him in verse 15, "This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation, the name Yahweh, or I am that I am." And he gives us permission to call him by his personal name, showing that personal relationship that he desires to have with us. Suppose, remember back when you were in school, or you're going to the doctor, you're encountering somebody, a person of authority, and that person of authority, out of respect, you never address them by their first name. You always call your doctor, Dr. So-and-so, or Mr. what, or Miss, whatever their name was in school, the teacher, and you always address them by their very formal name. And it's very presumptuous to somebody to go up and call a doctor or a person of authority their first name, especially if we don't have a good relationship with them. But suppose they give you the permission to call them by their first name and say, "You can call me by my first name." That shows a relationship that's more intimate. And that's how it is with God. We would never think of being able to approach him. But he says, "I give you permission to use my personal name and call me in a personal name, Yahweh, because I have that one to have that intimacy of a relationship with you." Yahweh is that personal God inviting us to himself, getting to know him better through his names. Have you entered into that personal relationship with Christ? And if you have, he welcomes you to his side. He initiated it through Jesus, coming, giving his life on the cross, dying for your sin and mine, being placed in the grave, and 3 days later coming back to life again. And through our faith and trust in him, we can enter into a personal relationship with our Yahweh, our awesome God. He is self-existent and he is personal. But third, Yahweh is the living God. He says in verse 14, when Moses said, "What is his name?" I go back to the Israelites and say to them, "The God of your father sent me to you." They ask me, "What is his name? What do I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." That is what you were to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." I am meaning I always was, I always will be. Not I was, but I am, the continual living God. Always existed, always will. He is the living God. Because, as I mentioned earlier, that it's actually Jesus appearing to him, the angel of the Lord. Jesus himself, when he came on earth, incarnate, he identified himself as the great I am. And when he was being challenged by the Israelites, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And he said, "I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He said, John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." John 6:35-48, he says, "I am the bread of life." And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "I am the living one, the one who was dead and is alive again. And I hold and I live forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades in my hand." Our Lord, Yahweh, is the living one who died, who rose again, who always was, and through him we have life, the resurrection and the life, and by believing in him. And because he lives, we know that we will live too. We serve a living Savior. We believe in a living Lord who brings life from death, and that hope we have beyond the grave. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He also said, as we see, that he's a living one. He says, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And the Lord, in referring to that, means that they are alive with me because I am the living God. I have given them life, and they have life through me. In John 8:38, the Lord said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And in Mark chapter 12, the Pharisees, or Sadducees actually, were questioning Jesus one day about the resurrection. And they didn't believe in life after death. And so they came to Jesus with a question to try to trick him. And we read it in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. It said, the Pharisees who say there is no resurrection came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have no children and have children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died leaving no child. And the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. And last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? And they came to the question based on the law that if someone dies, the husband dies and doesn't have any children, his brother is to have a child through her, through the wife. And she was married seven times, and he wanted to know who she'd be married to in the resurrection. And Jesus' answer was, you are an heir because you do not know the scripture or the power of God. When the dead rise, they will neither marry or be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. And now about the dead rising. And Jesus knew that the question was just a smokescreen. And he got back to the main point, was the fact that they didn't believe in the resurrection. And that was the main point. He said, now about the dead rising. Have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, this is chapter 3 what we're in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jesus said, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly forsaken. Our God is the God of the living. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were alive in the Lord. And we have that life in him. Yahweh is the living God who gives life, who always was, who is, continues to be God, and continues to live and gives life to all who believe in him. He is, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the living one. Yahweh also, fourth, is the unchanging God. And verse 4, God said, verse 14 again, God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you were to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. By making that statement, by God declaring himself as the one I am, basically saying I am that I am, he's repeating himself. It's basically saying I am, that's who I am. Meaning I'm not going to change. Who I am is who I was, who I will continue to be. My nature does not change. I am who I am, period. He said, you can put a period there. That's it. I am the Lord. I do not change. I am who I have always been. And that's what he's saying. And I will always be, because the Lord, his nature never changes. He remains constant. His truth never changes, and his word never changes. Our world today is constantly changing. It's constantly in flux. It's been said that the only thing constant is change. But our God, Yahweh, does not change. He does not conform to changing opinion or cultures. Is there an amen to that? His truth and his nature is not based on what is new or what is popular at the moment. God does not take a poll or look at the polls and say, okay, here's what the polls are saying. Maybe this is where I need to be today. No, he is who he always was. And he will always be. He is the unchanging one. Yahweh always was and always will be. He is who he is, period. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Lord speaking says, I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh there. I am the Lord. I, the Lord, do not change. In Revelation chapter 1, 8, Jesus speaking said, I am, again using that, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, says the Lord God, who was, who is, who was, and who is to come. God who doesn't change. What a comfort it is to know in our rapidly changing world around us that our God, Yahweh, doesn't change. We can trust him. His word does not change. His promises do not change. He remains constant and consistent. And you and I can find comfort in that and hold on to that truth. That in a world that changes around us, his word remains true. He remains true. And many have been caught up. Many churches have even been caught up thinking that God has changed. And because of the times of what's going on in our day, God's word doesn't mean what it used to. Or God has changed in his nature. And he's different now in how he works compared to how he did then. No, he is the great I am who does not change. He is the unchanging God. We do not conform ourselves to the world. The world conforms itself to God. And God is the one who remains truth. We do not use the world to determine what God's truth is. No, God's truth is the determination of what all is to be. He is the unchanging God. Yahweh is the self-existent one, the personal God, the living God, the unchanging God. Fifth, Yahweh is the ever-present God, meaning that he's ever with us. When he says, I am who I am, he's reminding us that he's not only always existing, but he's also always present. Look what he said to Moses, because God is with us. And sometimes we have that feeling that God may not notice what I'm going through, or maybe God doesn't care, or God seems silent, or God seems distant. And I'm sure maybe the Israelites must have felt that. For over 400 years, they had been enslaved by the Egyptians. And maybe they thought God didn't hear their prayers anymore. A day of deliverance wasn't going to come. Or God seemed distant, and didn't God really care about the suffering they were going through? Or did God turn away? Did God forsake them in their time of need? And sometimes we can feel that way. But notice what he said to Moses. He said, verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring the people out. And then God said in verse 12, I will be with you. And this is a sign to you that I have given. He said, I will be with you. And then I am who I am. We have that assurance of his presence, that as ever-present God, the great I am, he is always with us. He will always be with us no matter what we're going through. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Sometimes we can think in times of fear, in times of hardship, in times of oppression, in times of sorrow that God has forsaken us, and or fear can creep into our life. But Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am, and I, in my Bible, I circled I am there because it's a reference again referring back to Yahweh. Do not fear, for I am with you, and do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Dropping down to verse 13, he says, for I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. I am Yahweh, the Lord your God. He's reminding him of that, who takes hold of your right hand and he says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And God has that promise to us that we don't need to fear. We don't need to be dismayed when we go through hard times in life. Because he is with us. He will not forsake us. He will not abandon us. He will not leave us, but he will be right by our side. He is active and he is engaged. Nothing escapes his attention. And he is not distant, but he is near. He's as near as the mention of his name. It's calling out to him, knowing that he is right there by our side. He is within us through his Holy Spirit. His presence is promised with us to the very end of the age. I said, I will never leave you. The great I am is the ever-present God. So find comfort today, friends, in his presence with you. His comforting presence to sustain you in time of need. and rely on that peace and that promise that he is there always. You are always in his care. He was always by your side. I remember that great poem and that great poem called Footprints. And as the person was reading and reflecting back on their life as history, they saw two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to the Lord and one belonging to them. And as they walked back, they saw those footprints together. But then they noticed that there were times in their life there was only one. And it really bothered him, and he questioned God about it. He said, Lord, why in the times when there's only hardest times in my life, the darkest times in my life, it was then I only saw one foot set of footprints in the sand. Why did you forsake me in times like that? And the Lord said, oh, my dear precious child, I would never leave you and forsake you. In those times when you saw only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then that I carried you. And we know that God is carrying us in his arms. He's carrying us, strengthening us, the great I am who is with us always. Yahweh, the self-existent God, the personal God, the living God, the unchanging God, and the ever-present God. But last, sixth, we see this morning that God is a mysterious, Yahweh is a mysterious God. One who is mysterious, one who is beyond comprehension. Verses 2 and 3, as he engaged us, we saw that Moses saw this bush that was on fire, and it looked like it was on fire, but it didn't burn up. And he thought, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight. He said, this is strange, this bush not burning up. And that's strange, that's mysterious. How could a bush be on fire with flame and not be consumed? That's a mystery. That's intriguing. How does that happen? But the Lord did that to engage Moses, to inspire his curiosity so he would seek him and seek that relationship with him. And that's the kind of God we have, that he's mysterious. He likes to spark our curiosity so we would get to discover him more. So we would seek to know more about who he is, because he's mysterious. He is beyond our comprehension, and we can never know. He's far beyond our grasp. We can never know all there is to know about God. Theologians have spent their entire life as scholars studying the deep truths of Scripture, and we can mine the deep truths of Scripture, but we can never know all there is to know about our God. He is far above us. He is mysterious. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. But even though he is so far above us, he wants us to seek to discover him. He wants us to engage in that mystery of discovering more of who he is, of discovering more of his wonder, because God is full of wonder, mystery, and intrigue. His ways are not our ways, but we need to trust his heart, his plan, and his goodness, because he is that great and wonderful God. Job, when he was gone through his experience, and we all know the story of Job and all that he went through and all that he endured. And as he was going through that time of suffering, which he never understood why, God never told him why God allowed him to go through all he did. But we know that it was because of that contest and that challenge in heaven between Satan and God. But Job was never told that. But Job's friends, in the midst of his suffering, was convinced that the reason why Job was suffering was because of some sin. He must have done something horrible in his life that he was deserving all that punishment from God. And Job knew that his heart was right with God. He knew that it wasn't that. He knew that he had integrity, but he couldn't figure out, well, why God was allowing it. All his friends kept giving him the wrong counsel. And finally, Job speaks at the end of the book, and he challenges God. And he said, God, I don't understand. And he questions God. He says, why are you doing this? And I know I'm right with you. And he fires all these questions and accusations in God. And finally, we get, after everybody speaks, after Job speaks, after all his friends have said all they could, the Lord then speaks to Job. And the Lord confronts him and says, who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself, for I will question you and you will answer me. And then God goes on for three chapters and asks Job all these questions. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who marked off all this? Where were you when I did all this? Can you do all these things that I did? And he went on chapter after chapter speaking and laying out before Job his greatness and his glory and his wonder and his majesty. And Job sat in silence and awe. And by the end of that, after four chapters, chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41 of God speaking to Job, Job finally at the end replied to the Lord in chapter 42, verse 2, and said, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? And he said, surely I spoke of things I do not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will answer me. He said, my ears have heard of you. Now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I declare, despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And Job realized that God was beyond his comprehension. The Lord can do as he pleases, and we need to trust him. We may not understand his ways. His ways are different, are higher than us. But trust his heart, trust his plan, trust his goodness. Because our God is a mysterious God. His ways are known only to him. But yet seek to discover him, seek to know him more. As God initiated that relationship with Moses through the fire, the plant that consumed, it was a mysterious thing. But God used that as a way to spark the curiosity of Moses to have that relationship with him. And God as well wants you to discover more of him daily through his word, through going deeper into the minds of scripture, deeper into the truths, understanding our greatness of our God, who is mysterious and who is far greater than you and I. Yahweh, our great God, his personal name, getting to know him through his names as he has revealed Yahweh, who is, who was, who always will be. He is the self-existent God. He is personal in his relationship with you and me. He is the one who is living, always was, and brings life to all who believe in him. He is the unchanging God who does not change with shifting shadows, but remains constant. He is the ever-present God who is always with us in time of need. And he is mysterious and goes far beyond our comprehension, but yet invites us to know, discover and to know him better. This week, may you be blessed and challenged to walk with Yahweh and to get to know him better. And may your life and mine, as we have that dynamic encounter with him, that our life is different because we've come into the presence of Yahweh, the God who was and always will be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are beyond our comprehension. You are mysterious. Your ways are not our ways. We cannot comprehend all of who you are. We can spend all of our life studying deeper your word and your truth, seeking to know you better. And we will not know you fully until that day because you are far beyond your mystery. But yet you want us to go into that life of discovery. You want us to know you better. Father, we thank you that you are personal with us, that you invite us and give us permission to call you by your personal name, that you have a personal relationship with us that you've initiated through your son, Jesus. We thank you that you are the God of life. You're the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And that you bring life to all who believe and trust in you. Eternal life and abundant life. And Father, we thank you for that hope beyond the grave, to know that because you live, we will live also. We thank you that you are ever present with us, that you are, the great I am is with us. You never forsake us. You never abandon us in our time of need. You never turn your back on us. You never turn a deaf ear. You are not distant, but you are engaged in our life and you see all the misery. You see all that's going on in our life and you care deeply and you are present and you act and you respond. And Father, we thank you that you are always there. You are the existent one, far greater than us. You don't need us, but yet you welcome us to partner with you because you are existent of yourself. And Father, we thank you that you are unchanging. And a world around us that is so much in flux and change that you remain constant. Your truth never changes. Your word never changes. You never change, and your nature never changes. And we can have hope that we can hold on to you, our God, the great I Am, who was, who is, and is to come. So we give you praise, and I ask, Lord, your blessing on each one listening this week, that you would just draw them close to you, that in their encounter with you, the great I Am, Lord, that just as Moses and all of our lives, that we will know you deeper, their life would be changed, and we would just celebrate who you are and continue to walk with you, the one who calls us into yourself. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.